Amen, brother, in the Bible. It's just going to be one of those days. What was your answer, brother? Exodus 20, that's right. So if you knew that, give yourself a star. If you didn't know that, act like you knew that, and then give yourself a star. You should know where they're found. It's one of the important aspects and events of the Bible, and we've been talking about that, Lord willing. We've been talking about the major events of the Bible and people in the Bible. And today we're going to be talking about the Ten Commandments and what they mean. A lot of people look at the Ten Commandments. Religious people will look at the Ten Commandments, and they will they acknowledge that the Ten Commandments exist, that God gave them to us, and yet they don't understand why they're there. Sometimes they believe that if they just follow the Ten Commandments, I've had people tell me that they're going to be okay. Well, God will allow them into heaven because they're following the Ten Commandments. And the first thing I say right after that is that's interesting news. That's great to hear. Tell me what the Ten Commandments are. They always remember a couple of them. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not kill. And that's about as far as they get. And they don't remember the rest. And said, well, you're expecting to get to heaven because you're following the Ten Commandments, and yet you don't even know what the Ten Commandments are. So that's a real shocker to some people. But the Ten Commandments wasn't there just to trip people up and to cause issues. That's what Satan's job is to trip people up and cause issues with what God's Word says. It's very simple. The Ten Commandments were written so that Charles Heston could star in the movie. That was the number one reason, and that we would have something to watch at Easter. And all the young people are going, who's Charles Heston? Anyway, they basically took all those shows off TV anyway because they're offensive to everybody, you know. So can't have those on TV anymore either. But one event in history was a major event, and that was when God gave the Ten Commandments to his people. There's a lot we can say what was going on before God gave the Ten Commandments and things that happened right after he gave the Ten Commandments. There's a lot that can be said around that, but we're just going to focus on the Ten Commandments and what they are show us today. As some religious people just need to get a grasp on why the Ten Commandments are there and what they say. So we're not going to look at all the, break them down just by, we're going to actually do it kind of by category. So let's just read Exodus chapter 20, verse number 1. And God spake all these words, saying, first of all, it's just a miracle that God himself would speak to mankind. I mean, there's no reason why he should even tell us anything. And the people who serve false gods never hear from their God, yet they have more faith than us that do hear from God sometimes. And we got to understand God is speaking to us. Even today, he's speaking to us through his word and through his spirit, and yet sometimes we just don't listen. But here he's saying, God spake all these words saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Now, again, I don't mean to keep pausing, but it pops in my head about what's going on at this time. I try to place myself in the scene. I just read God's word. And so Moses has been up in this mountain for nearly 40 days now, and there's this cloud over this mountain. And you're at the bottom of the mountain looking up. You saw where he went. You see this big cloud up there. You don't really know what's going on. It kind of looks like a little bit of lightning or something going on there, but you don't really hear what's going on. Moses has been in the midst of that. God's speaking directly to Moses, telling him, I am the Lord that God which brought thee out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage. And during the same time, the people of God are forming a calf in the image of a golden calf in the image of a God from Egypt and worshiping him and saying, this is the God that brought us out of the land of Egypt and out of the bondage. And so God is telling them here, yes, to the Ten Commandments, but he's also, there's a reason behind why he's saying this in particular. And then he says, verse number 3, for thou have thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. He knows what's going on down there. They're doing everything that he's saying not to do right here. But God is writing it down so they'll have it as their law to follow. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Now that covers everything. So you're not to make a graven image, any likeness of anything in heaven above or earth or beneath the water. So what he's saying is, just don't make it. Oh, it's a beautiful picture of Jesus. That ain't even Jesus. I know they're thinking it's pretty, whoever made it or painted it or whatever, but it's still not Jesus. And we're not to make anything that represents anything of heaven or earth or beneath the earth. It makes it very simple and clear. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them. To what? Wait a minute. I'm not worshiping another God, Lord. I'm worshiping you. And then God's saying, then why are you bowing down to that picture? Why are you bowing down to that statue? Why are you bowing down to that image that's supposed to represent me, which could never represent me? Why are you bowing down anyway? Well, because I feel more religious when I bow down. And I can kind of picture you being there. No, God's in my heart. I don't need a picture to show me who he is. We're doing God a disfavor when you try to make something that represents him. It's so simple. He makes it so easy. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto the thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. What does that mean? You shouldn't say the name of the Lord unless you think you're speaking directly to him. Otherwise, it's in vain. You're doing it for nothing. There's no reason to mention his name unless you're talking to him personally. Leave his name out of it. Use your mama's name instead. No, you'd rather use God's name. Well, whatever. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work. Thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant or thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth and sea and all that is in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. That's one people remember. Thou shalt not commit adultery. They forget that one. Thou shalt not steal, unless you really want it really bad. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, unless you're trying to get back at him. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is in thy neighbors. And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they were moved and stood afar off. So let's look at these breakdown real quick of the Ten Commandments. What is the purpose of the Ten Commandments, and what are the Ten Commandments? So first of all, we have number one is a God worth knowing. Those are verses 1 through 3. It's the happiest fact in the world that God is. He exists. He's real. This world wasn't made by some blast or bang or any other reason why people come think about it. Rocks hit each other and somehow it formed a galaxy and a bunch of planets, and they just happen to start going around each other and getting just enough sunlight and just enough oxygen to sustain life and just enough time to have everything come together. But they can never explain where the stones came from that caused the bang, even though the rest of it's garbage anyway. They just don't want to accept the fact that God is and He exists. That's the happiest fact in the world. The saddest fact is many don't know Him and don't really care to know Him. They'll come up with any other excuse on why not to know God, or just to blow it off and say, well, God doesn't exist. Don't tell me all that stuff. Why? Because they want to live their life the way they want to live it without any accountability or responsibility to anyone. I want to live my life and just die. That's a sad fact. There is only one true God. All the others are false, fake, or forgeries. Whether people want to hear that or not, there is only one true God, and He tells me who His name is. He's a God worth knowing. The second commandment, verses 4 through 6, tell us it's a way worth worshiping. He says, make no image or likeness, no bowing down or serving anything but Him alone, no matter how respectful you are, or how maybe you just out of good conscience thought, well, this would be neat to have this, or to make this, or to represent God. And every time I see this, I think of God. You ought to be able to think of God without seeing that. You don't need that. And God mentions that. He's a way worth worshiping. He is worthy of all our worship. The only thing that's going to come out of that is a bunch of garbage and idolatry. That's why I'm so against all the things that some people put up in churches for Christmas and Easter and other things, because I don't want anything that represents heaven above or the earth or the sea beneath. Nothing in it, nothing holy, nothing in heaven. We don't need it. I know who God is. He's in my heart. He lives today. I know He lives today because He lives within me. I don't need anything to represent that. And the third commandment tells us is a name worth honoring. Verse 7, vain again means devoid of substance or meaning, trifle use, irreverence, profanity. That's why Jesus says you start off your prayer life with hallowed be thy name. Holy is your name. Holy. God wants you to, Jesus says, if you're going to start praying, say this, say it like this. Holy is thy name. Remember how holy God is. Before you even ask Him for anything, you ought to remember how holy He is. The fourth commandment tells us a day worth enjoying. God shows us who we are to worship, how we are to worship, and now when we are to worship. Worship is important to God. He spells it out for His people. Now, I know their calendar, theirs, different from our calendar, even though our calendar really starts with Saturday through Sunday, but with the way we think of it, because of our work week, it's Monday through Sunday, and Sunday ends up being the Sabbath day. In reality, Saturday is the Sabbath day, but the people who only worship in their religion that Saturday is the Sabbath day and everybody else is wrong also have many other doctrinal issues as well, so they're wrong with a lot of things. That's about the only thing they got right in that religion. But yeah, it doesn't matter what calendar you have. It matters that that last day of whatever week that you live is the Sabbath day. And for us here in America, it's Sunday. That's what it happens to be. The fourth verse, a day worth enjoying. And then the fifth commandment is a home worth having. Here the emphasis now shifts from knowing and loving God to being able to live with mankind. Yeah. These are the rest of the verses. The last six have to do with living with mankind. God considers this extremely important. That's why he stuck it in the Ten Commandments. Disrespect and disobedience is not tolerated by God. It's wrong. It destroys families and even marks the last day as mentioned in 2 Timothy 3:2. God understands that a family cannot be strong in its worship toward God if there's people in that are disrespectful, disobedient to their parents, not following the rules that God says, and he has strict commands against those in verse number 12, telling us that you should honor thy father and mother. You should honor them. But for how long, brother? I can't stand them now. How long do I got to honor them? Well, let's put on an earthly level. If you want their inheritance, you better keep honoring them. Let's just put it that way. But God takes it seriously. Verse 13 is commandment number 6, a life worth protecting. This refers to murder and not death. There's a difference between murder and death. God allows punishment by death. We see that all over the scriptures. And he allows certain wars. He told his people they're going to go into the promised land, but they're going to fight for every inch of that land. But it does not include homicide and, in my opinion, abortion. God doesn't want that to happen. That is murder. But that doesn't mean God doesn't expect death. He knows death is going to happen. And verse 14 tells us, commandment number 7, a promise worth keeping. Adultery means to make impure, to harm, or to dilute. It is an attack on the marriage that God himself has established. That's why he puts it in there and tells us that we are not to be adulterers. And if, when you go back to our relationship with God, he only wants you to worship one God, him alone. And when you become saved, you became married to him alone. And if we go, I don't want to say the word with kids here. If we starts with a W though, but if we go chasing after other gods in God's mind and opinion, that's the same thing as committing adultery in your marriage. When you're chasing after other people that you're not married to. And that's why he has it as so important, because the marriage represents our relationship with God. Just like the church is the bride and Jesus is the bridegroom, and the bride, the church, is going to be offered to the bridegroom pure because of the blood of Jesus Christ, and we're not fornicators and we're not adulterers. We belong to one God. Verse 15 tells us, number 8, it's a respect worth having. Stealing to God is taking what is not earned and keeping what is not yours. Just the same, if you try to borrow something and you purposely forget to give it back, that's stealing. Now, if you just accidentally forgot and you meant to do it, that's not what he's talking about here. When it says, thou shalt not steal, we all understand what that means. You're taking something that's not yours, or you're keeping something on purpose that's not yours. Verse number 16 tells us, number 9, a witness worth bearing. Truthfulness is key to love. We must be truthful in our marriage, truthful in our businesses, truthful in our family, truthful in our church, and truthful in life in general. We should always be truthful. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And then number 10 is a desire worth controlling. Verse 17. Covet is an inward action. It compels our mind. It speaks to our heart. When God is in control, we will covet and desire godly things. When our flesh is in control, we covet and desire everybody else's things. The neighbor's things. Whoa, I like their truck. I like their boat. I like their house. I like their wife. I like their dog. I want everything that person has over there. And God says, the only reason you're feeling like that is because you're in the flesh. And if you're in the spirit, you would be content with what I have given you, and you wouldn't have this problem. All that does is cause problems. When we look at stuff and look at the things that people have, and we want that, even when it's a church in our ministry, you can look at a church and say, wow, they got such a big church, and they got a cafeteria in their church, and they got a bowling alley in their church, and they got an archery in their church, and they got a gun range in their church. Wait a minute, I might want to go there. Where is that? I might want to go there. But when we look at that, so that's, I want that. And God says, I gave you everything you need to serve me and be faithful. You don't need all that. When you get all that, all you got to do is maintain all that, and then it's another problem. So God gives us what the Ten Commandments are, and then let's look real quick at the purpose of the Ten Commandments. Number one is found in Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The Ten Commandments, one purpose is that it exposes the heart of mankind. When God gave the Ten Commandments to his people, he is exposing their wickedness and their heart's desire. And when Moses came down from the mountain, you can read it for yourself, and he saw what was going on, and the people were dancing around the fire and dancing around this image, and people were taking their clothes off and doing adulterous things and things they shouldn't have been involved in as a worship to this calf, Moses lost it. He ended up breaking the first commandments. And God shows us, it exposes the heart of man. Our heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. And the second purpose of the Ten Commandments is educates man to sin, Romans 7:7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law has said, thou shalt not covet. The law educates us to our sin problem. And then the last purpose is Galatians 3:24. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. The Ten Commandments were used to evangelize mankind to Christ. See, Jesus said to the Pharisees and those standing around, you say you know the scriptures and they testify of me, and yet you don't even know who I am. The law, the Ten Commandments, one purpose of it was to evangelize man because they saw their heart was wicked. It educated them to what sin was, and now they know that Christ is the Redeemer of all mankind. And if we want to be justified, it can't be by our works. It must be by faith. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. God has multi-purposes on everything that he does. And yes, he wanted the people to know these Ten Commandments, but as we read the scriptures, we realize that there are more than 10 of God's commandments. There are thousands of commandments that God has given us in his word. This is just the 10 that expose sin in the heart of mankind. Let's go to the Lord in prayer for a few moments and ask God to bless us today and help in those prayer requests that we have.